Hi, Dr. Ford.
Hi, I'm sorry. I'm not sure what happened.
I think we switched areas, and all of a sudden, I'm in Inglewood, so I don't know what happened.
Okay.
But we're starting on a phone and on my phone. And so, if you don't mind, what you said was brilliant. If you could just tell us again about yourself to make sure that we got it.
Okay. My name is Chandra Ford. I'm on the faculty in the Fielding School of Public Health at UCLA. I'm an associate professor of community health sciences, and I also direct the Center for the Study of Racism, Social Justice, and Health. And I had the privilege of launching that center on October 9th, 2017, which was the first ever Indigenous Peoples Day in Los Angeles. So it's been a real privilege to serve in that capacity, and also just having the center feels like an important responsibility to carry on this work. Most of my research focuses on the health implications of racism. How does racism affect our communities? And most of that work for me has focused on HIV. So a lot of the work on HIV for many of the first couple of decades of the epidemic really looked at the health disparities. So African Americans have higher rates than other groups, and framed the issue in terms of, well, you know, African Americans must be doing something wrong. What are they doing wrong? What is it about being Black that leads to them having higher rates of HIV?
Okay.
Whereas I was really interested in not thinking that Black people have some kinds of issues, but there are issues with our system,
right?
And Black people are the ones who are affected. And so that's why a lot of my work around HIV has focused on the effects of racism for African Americans and other racial and ethnic minority populations.
So can you, Dr. Ford, talk a little bit about what you had mentioned before, where CRT is infused into that?
Yes. So another area of my work is more of my academic work, meaning it's less community grounded in some ways. And that is to try to think about how can we bring critical race theory into public health, and in particular, public health research. And one of my mentors, the health educator, Collins Iriambua, that's A-I-R. H-I-H-E-N, B as in boy, U-W-A. We started looking at this stuff with critical race theory to think about what are the aspects of critical race theory that really resonate for people who are doing health equity work, and what kinds of tools can we bring into public health that would make it easier for people who are doing health equity work to engage critical race theory, to think intersectionally,
right?
To have deeper analyses around race and ethnicity, those kinds of things. We developed a model that we call PHCRP, Public Health Critical Race Praxis. So public health, because it's in public health, critical race, to tie it to critical race theory and law and education and other fields, and praxis, because we see our work not as being iterative, going back and forth and informed by our interactions with community. And so we have focused so far on trying to apply this in empirical work, like in our research. Hopefully we'll get to the point where people are using it more in public health practice, right?
Right.
But that's where we are now. We published a special issue of the journal Ethnicity and Disease, which is a minority-owned journal that was focused on research that's based on critical race theory. And that was this past August, and we were very excited by the work that people sent from all over the country, because simply providing a venue where people could call out critical race theory explicitly meant that they could offer alternative explanations for their findings than is often possible in journals. So, for instance, one study was about the Flint, Michigan water crisis,
mm-hmm.
and they talked about how, from a youth perspective, it was really about racism more broadly, that the youth felt like not only is the water crisis a reflection of the racism that exists in their community, but also the fact that Black on Black violence is allowed to go on is right. also a part of that, you know, that they can't just pull out one piece of it, that all of it matters in their lives.
Right.
Okay. That's good information. Dr. Ford, I wanted to ask you, how do you use your power to advocate for others?
Let me think about that. One thing, I would say there are a couple of different ways to answer that for me. One is thinking about the ways I try to advocate for others within the academic system. And the other is trying to advocate for people who are not within the academic system.
Mm-hmm.
So before I became a professor, I assumed that once I got my PhD, I will have arrived and everything would be easier. But mm-hmm. I have seen that it is a battle every day. And parents send their children to these universities, and sometimes the students literally go through hell once they get here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to model healthy ways of being within a system, within academic settings that can sometimes be toxic for students of color, for students of color in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I also literally, now that I have tenure in particular, I feel like it's important to raise my voice and to speak out when I see something that is unfair or exploitative or unhelpful for students of color, as well as for postdoctoral, actually for anyone. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just have to be students.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to work in terms of mentoring one-on-one and buffering the spaces that people have. So for instance, one of the primary motivations for creating the center was to create a safe space where people could simply show up and know that it was a place where they didn't have to apologize for being themselves on the university campus.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
What is your understanding of social justice, Dr. Ford?
Excuse me?
What is your understanding of social justice?
I would say that my understanding of social justice, when you look at the title of my center, Racism, Social Justice, and Health, I have focused primarily on racism. Right. I would challenge myself to do more in terms of the social justice elements of it. That's the main thing I would say about that one.
Well, I wanted to ask you one last question. How can people, especially our listeners out there, mm-hmm. Connect with your cause to further assist, help, and be a part of?
Mm-hmm. Well, we would really love to work with community members, students, folks who are already engaged,
mm-hmm.
by helping to support the ongoing work people are already doing in their community. So for instance, how can the researchers at our center help people use tools that are available to researchers to document the inequities that they're experiencing in their communities?
Mm-hmm.
My dream would be to have training opportunities, not really courses, but, you know, opportunities for people who want to, and organizations who want to be able to document the inequalities that they're experiencing. Because a lot of times policymakers or local authorities do not really hear the voice of community unless they have quote unquote data.
Right.
So how can we get the, how can we put into the hands of community members the data they need? And by that, I do not mean how can the community members sign on to what the researchers are already doing?
Right.
I actually mean the opposite. Mm-hmm. How can we connect community members with the research tools, with the educational tools that they need to be able to provide a full picture that supports the work that they're doing, you know, to provide a strong, compelling argument for what they need, you know, for whatever each of our communities need.
So would that look like, because we're doing our second research class next semester, so I'm just trying to figure out, would that look like in terms of questionnaires or surveys, or would it be a pre-test, post-test of information about, for instance, one of your causes with HIV in the Black community, or what would that look like?
It could look any way. There's no set way for it to look, but some of the ways that I think of that I would personally like are, I would love for us to have like local clinics, not health clinics per se, but depots, or what is the word for it? Branches throughout the region where people could come. They could tell us what kinds of issues are going on in their community. And doctoral students, faculty, and other researchers could help them come up with a plan to write grants to study the problem, to come up with the right kinds of research measures and tools to study the problem, maybe to get assistance writing letters or writing papers, or even articles for newspaper or for the media that help them to make their voices heard in the broader community.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So something like narratives.
Narratives, yes. In fact, one of the things that we were talking with one group about was having like a film series. Because when we talk about racism being a public health issue, a lot of people are not really aware of that. And maybe just having like film nights and things like that, because there has been a lot of work done on this, might help to get the message out there. And then people can see, oh, well, that's actually going on here. So maybe there's something I can do here, you know?
Right. Okay. So we're finna wind up the interview. It's supposed to be 5 to 7 minutes, but we on 12 minutes, but I have one more. We have 9 questions. So this is Taso, but I need you to wind it up with what is your motivation for the work you do and why?
Okay. There are several motivations for the work that I do.
Okay.
Only now, looking back over my life, I know that part of the reason I am interested in racism is because when I left home feeling loved and just feeling like a beautiful soul in the world, a child of God, a child of the universe, I landed at school and went through, you know, a very difficult time as an undergraduate student. Right. And I think that experience, looking back now, because at the time I didn't know this, that experience set me on a whole different path for my life. And that path has been to understand and try to address the ways that racism harms our communities. It harms our children. And I think it harms the society overall.
Right.
So for me, public health is a way to do it, because if we are concerned about the well-being of people, as we say in public health, we are trying to get optimal health for all. And health, not just physical health, but everything, you know. And if racism is systematically keeping some communities from getting that, then it's by definition a public health barrier, a barrier to public health. So I'm motivated by my own personal experiences. I'm motivated by the work that my grandmother, my grandmothers, my mother, that they did in community. In fact, one of my grandmothers essentially did the same kind of work, but she didn't have, she wasn't in academia, but she was working in communities, feeding people, housing people, fighting for different rights and so forth, helping to educate people about ways to live better. And so I feel like it's my responsibility as part of it that motivates me.
Oh, that's sound like you came from a woman of pioneers.
Legacy
of pioneers.
Of community advocacy. I think that's awesome. Dr. Ford, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with us and speak with us about your cause. I really appreciate that.
And this is a two-part assignment, and we will get to meet. And hopefully your schedule don't be so full. I would like for you to come out to school on a second assignment, because the teacher said we invite them out and get to where you can give a presentation.
A show and tell.
Yes, it's called show and tell, because our theory is critical race theory for the school. That's the foundation.
Oh my goodness.
I would love for you to come out, but in the meantime, I would like to personally come and meet you my own self, because this is a good network and good tools for me to embrace, you know, and have and connection. So I'm looking forward to meeting you soon, Dr. Ford.
I look forward to it. Thank you for the privilege to speak with you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and
have a great night. And God bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.